through the opportunity to the glory of our Lord Jesus as we ask it in his most wonderful name. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. Take your Bibles, if you have one with you. If not, the Burgundy Book, the Pew Bible in front of us. We're looking today in our scripture reading at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 as we begin our reading at verse 16. It's page 1066 in our Pew Bible. From now on, then, we do not know anyone in a purely human way. Even if we have known Christ in a purely human way, yet now we no longer know him like that. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and look, new things have come. Now everything is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed the message of reconciliation to us. Therefore, we are ambassadors of Christ, certain that God is appealing through us. We plead on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. He made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Working together with him, we also appeal to you. Don't receive God's grace in vain. For he says, in an acceptable time, I heard you. In the day of salvation, I helped you. Look, now is the acceptable time. Look, now. Now is the day of salvation. The Word of God. What's the one thing that you have been saying for some time? One of these days, I'm going to get around to it. Yeah, any of you have anything like that in your life, in your world, where you said, someday I'm going to get around to it? Maybe it's clean out the garage. Clean out the attic. I'm going to reorganize that closet. Maybe it's something in the yard. I heard, some of you, did we hit one?
All the above.
Wait, all the above. And guys, you're hoping your wives aren't here to hear this, right? Oh, boy. We have now been here 7 years, in June it was, and we have boxes that were moved into the garage. For the last 7 years, Patty has been asking me to go through those boxes. And I have said, someday I'm going to get around to it. She has been watching far too much HGTV and a program called Tiny Houses. Any of you seen that thing?
Yes.
That's the last thing I need to have her watch. We now have a mantra in the Smith household. It's time to simplify. I'm just thinking of simplifying by picking the box up, taking it over, and throwing it in the trash bin. My opinion is, if I didn't need it for the last 7 years, I highly doubt I need it any time in the next 7 years. What do you think of that one? Mm-hmm. Although with my luck, I've got that winning ticket in for the local Powerball, and but I know a number of years ago I spoke about something similar to this, and I handed out this little round disc, and everybody got one. I came up with that last night about 9, 10 o'clock, and it hit me. I thought, oh, store, maybe it's about 8 o'clock, where I could find a store that had it. Nobody had it. I could get it on Amazon, of course, but I couldn't find them in a store. I went and handed out this little thing, and I handed this little disc out, and inside it was the word, the little round thing that said the letters T-U-I-T, T-U-I-T. And I said to the folks at that time, I said to you, now you can no longer say when I get around to it, because I've given you one today. It's time to get started. And that's what this day is all about throughout the United States today. Today is known as National Back to Church Sunday. It does not always work for our demographic here because, as I continue to say, watching it on Facebook from the responses we got for our picnic today, people said, love to be here, gonna be away. We still have a lot of folks away. I'm not sure why they haven't figured out, maybe just a tad early, but with that, we want to stay with the theme that is nationally being shared and the message. Today, the message that I share with you, they gave us a framework because it's a message that the folks who are responsible for National Back to Church Sunday want to be started and spread throughout the United States today on this National Back to Church Sunday. And it's the thought of, it's time for us not just to take from the summer season and get back to it. And it really, they do surveys, and Sunday services and Sunday school and its attendance can be very, very much a habit. And once you get out of the habit, you've got to get yourself back in it. But also, there have been recognized as they survey people that there are people that have made decisions, you know, or are waiting to make decisions in their lives, but they just keep putting them off. When we read this passage of Scripture today, this is an awesome one. Shed another one of those ones that we could spend weeks on. The Apostle Paul is writing to this church in Corinth. It's known as the second letter, probably more likely actually the third letter that he sent to the church at Corinth. And he's talking to them about how he has the privilege and we have a privilege of being changed. He goes, when a person makes that decision to become a follower of Jesus Christ, something happens because God does a work in that person. What's past is past. Whatever they've done, if there's ever anything, a sin or something that's been done wrong, the Bible says that Jesus just takes and it's gone. He removes it. And every sin, past, present, and future, has been removed, eliminated from the record of God. And what Jesus does is sends into every follower of Jesus. They may not feel it, but it's a promise that God made that he sends his Spirit into every Christian following of Jesus, and they are now empowered to do what God calls them to do, to be able to begin to understand the Word of God, the Bible, unlike they could have ever done so before, because God just enables them to understand and assimilate what God says in His Word. And He goes, I make you a new creation, and in making you a new creation, I put you into a whole new opportunity and responsibility, and that's to be an ambassador for me. But then he says, but there are some of you who haven't gotten to that place quite yet. And he says, you can't put the time off any longer. The verse for today throughout the United States in this National Back to Church Sunday is 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, the latter portion, where it says, now is the acceptable time, and now is the day of salvation. And that's where you see the theme for today is now. Now is the time. And what we really want you to take home with you and affect your life beginning today and forever is that there are four different ways where today we take a different turn in our life, where we make a decision in our life. And I want you to invite you to consider these things. And the first one is this. Now is the time. As God comes to you today, He is in this service through the Word He's given and by His Spirit, speaking through me, you hear me, but it's really God's Spirit that's talking to you, not me. And what He's saying is that there is a time where you have to make a decision, and now is the time to decision. Make that place, then now's the time for hope. And this whole message that Paul is writing to these people at Corinth about, and to us today. God transfers it today and says, look, part of coming to God is coming to recognize and experience a great, unbelievable measure of hope like you've never seen before. You look at life and live life differently. Back some years ago, we had, you know, I believe it was the president began with his mantra was hope and change. And the years passed by. Here's the truth. As long as I've ever been voting in my entire life, I'm 58 now. When I was first voting for the first time, we were talking about hope back then. We talk about hope every 4 years. We talk about it in between. We're still looking for hope. And if you've been with me in our journey through the book of Isaiah, they had many kings, many leaders, and they were continuing to seek for hope. And as Isaiah spoke to the people on behalf of God, God's message through Isaiah was, you keep looking for hope. You keep looking in all the wrong places. The number one place to find hope is not in any politician. It is not in any political party. It is not in any human individual other than Jesus Christ. And he goes, I am the source of hope, and I am going to bring hope. And there's a day coming, what Isaiah said back then, around 700 BC. And we're still waiting for today because God made the promise. He set that day. He's going to come. And he's going to once and for all establish perfect and permanent hope because he's going to take over the throne, not by armies, not by politicians, not by economists. Christ's going to come. He's going to set up a new heaven, new earth. He's going to set up his throne. And he's going to rule and he's going to give hope on like we've never seen before, like we could ever imagine. And God tells us this. He says, look, I planned a hope for you that you cannot even imagine, but it's my promise to you as my people. And you have to allow that hope to affect your life and how you live. Charles Schultz. Everybody know who Charles Schultz is? He was the Peanuts. There you go. He got it. And in one of the cartoons, one of the Peanuts cartoons, there's this experience where Lucy and Linus are sitting in front of the television set when Lucy says to Linus, go get me a glass of water. I don't know if you remember this or not. He kind of looks up there surprised and he says these words, why should I do anything for you? You've never done anything for me. And she looks to him and says, well, on your 75th birthday, I'll bake you a cake. And to my surprise in the cartoon, Linus gets up, heads to the kitchen and said, life is more pleasant when you have something to look forward to. Amen? Charles Schultz got it. That's hope. And what we want to know in the passage of scripture that I gave you in the outline today, it says we know that affliction produces endurance. God says you're going to have affliction, but you know what comes from that affliction? Endurance. And endurance, it produces character, proven character. Because God is more concerned about our character than our comfort. He wants to build us to be more like Jesus. And proven character produces what? Hope. And this hope will not disappoint us because God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who is given to us. The second thing that we need to take the time right now to experience is grace. Grace is something that's not just something you say before you eat. Grace is something that the Bible describes as God's undeserved favor. I've heard people throughout my life often say that they want justice. They want people to get what they deserve. And some have actually said to them, do you want to get what you deserve? I said, let me tell you what I don't. I don't want to get what I deserve. I want grace. I want God's grace, his undeserved love, his undeserved favor. And he can do that. Grace, there's an acronym for grace, G-R-A-C. God's riches at Christ's expense. And that's what Paul talks about as he just leads into this verse when he says that God sent his son into the world to forgive our sin, to take upon himself our punishment. And when he came to the cross, when he died on the cross, he took our sin, he took our punishment, he took it all away. And we now, by God's grace, can receive his love, his favor as a gift. It's the book of Ephesians. By grace we're saved through faith, that not of ourselves. It's a gift of God, not of our own doing, that we boast before God. And that's what gives us the privilege. In Hebrews chapter 4, we studied that together in Bible study. It says, let us approach the throne of grace with boldness so that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help us at the proper time. Because of Jesus, we can come to God and we can experience His grace. Some people can get to a place in their life that come and say, I don't know if I can talk to God about this. I'm ashamed, I'm embarrassed, I don't even know Him. I don't know if He knows me. How can I come to God and talk to Him about these things? I say it's grace. It's all grace. He wants you to come to Him. That's why He sent Christ into this world. And He wants to give you what none of us deserve. But nonetheless, in His love, He gives it to us anyhow. A few years ago, Pat and I were struggling with, we had kids that were just graduating college. We had four that we had college bills for, and all of a sudden we discovered in the next 2 years we're going to have four of them getting married. Bank of AmeriCard and Chase Manhattan absolutely love us. Right about that time, someone came to us and said, I want to give you something, a gift. It was a financial gift, and I was blown away by the amount. Pat was blown away by the amount. I had to take a picture of it just so I could argue. And I said, what did I ever do to deserve this? What did we do to deserve this? And they said, nothing. I'm like, oh, gee, oh, somebody tell me. They said, well, look, we appreciate when you come as our pastor. We do. We appreciate that. But that's not why we're giving it to you. It's our way of saying that we love you and we appreciate what you do. Yes, we want to give this to you, not because you deserve it, because we love you for it. That's grace. And that's what God does. That's how God sent His Son, not because we deserved it, because He loves us. He showers His love on us. He provides for us. He protects us. Do we deserve it? No, because He loves us. That leads to that next thing. And that's, now is the time, if you're following, for connection. You all connected? I have to take this with me to the pulpit. Now, believe it or not, if you call me on the phone, I am not going to answer you. Although, can you believe this? I have literally had, while I've been up front here, I've had people text me in church during the service. I want to go, really? You want me to? Let me just stop and answer this. Here's what I love. When I see kids sitting in a room together and there's silence, they're just going, Oh, yeah. They're not talking to one another. And not long ago, Patty and I were over at Rockaway. We went to the Olive Garden there. And there's a husband and wife sat down. They were in eyesight. And, of course, Patty goes crazy that I always have my phone out and says, can you just ever leave that? Can we ever go out and have a meal? You don't have your phone out or don't have to answer an email or a text. And I said, you got to watch this going on. This couple sat down, didn't say a word. They ordered. They said more to the waiter than they said to one another. And they spent the whole meal like this. I watched them get up and walk. They never once said anything. They were just this the whole time. We're supposed to be the most connected time of society ever. But you know what they're discovering? We are now a society that's filled with people who are depressed and lonely. Because they know how to connect this way. They don't know how to connect the way we can by just talking to one another, being with one another. God loves us. That's why He made us. You go back to Genesis. Genesis says God made us to have a fellowship, a relationship, a connection with us. What sets us apart from every other part of creation is He made humankind to have a personal relationship with Himself, with God. And that's why He says He wants us to love Him with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength, to love Him. But then He says we need to be loving one another. The connection we have with Him, we need to have not just on the vertical, but on the horizontal with one another. And He built us in the DNA that whether we understand it or not, we need it. That's how we've been built. That's why Paul in Romans, as he wrote another letter to another location in Rome, another church, says, we're many parts in one body. He looks at us like we're a body, and there's arms, there's legs, there's eyes, there's ears. And the parts don't all have the same function. In the same way, we who are one body in Christ are individually members of one another. We're literally a body. You may have been here when I had to wear flip-flops in the summer because I dropped a bottle on my toe. And I couldn't get a shoe on. I couldn't walk. I couldn't run. Not running, I can't deal with the stress factor. First thing I got to watch while I eat more. And it's just over a little toe. When we are not functioning together, the body doesn't function properly. And that's why it's so important that we say now is the time when we recognize the need for connection with people that are sitting in this room and that are part of this church family. We're a family and we need each other. And that's why in Hebrews 10, it's important that you be here and be an active and vital part of it. Because Paul says, let us be concerned. I think Paul wrote Hebrews, that's why I say man, but I believe he did. Let us be concerned about one another in order to promote love and good works. Not staying away from our worship meetings, as some habitually do, but encouraging each other all the more as you see the day drawing near. And what he's saying is that we need each other, need to make sure that we're here because there's going to come a time where you need them, there's going to come a time when they need you. And if we're not here, how can the body care for itself? Back when I was in the hospital in April of 2013, sadly, I was there 3 weeks, and for almost all of it, I was basically unable to communicate. In most cases, I was a sleeper because of a high fever. Would have made no sense anyhow. And Pat was by herself for a time. We had Pam and Greg were there, but they had to get back to family and work responsibilities. And Patty found herself alone in the hospital for 3 weeks. No one really much to talk to. And as I got better, I said, how did you make it? She said, I made it because, she goes, I had family, I had friends, I had church friends here in this place. And I lived as best I could off of phone calls that I made to them or they made to me, or texting, saying how you were doing and there, how is he doing? How can we be praying? She said, just keeping connected. And she said, you know what? As I went down, I'd go to the prayer garden that they had down, which my room happened to overlook. And I'd spend time with God and be connected with God. God then would take me back to that room, and I'd find myself connected with people through the phone and through text from home and church. And that's really what carried me through. God used that to get me through those times. That's the kind of connection we need. And then the last thing is this, is that we need to now have a time for compassion. You know, the Bible in the Psalms, one of my favorite Psalms says, the Lord is gracious, compassionate, slow to anger, rich in love. Get that, he's compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, rich in love. That is not what the world sees of the church today. The world, when it talks about Christianity, says, we like Jesus, we're just not real excited about his church or many of his followers, because we're not perceived as being very compassionate or loving or gracious or long-suffering. Well, you know where that starts? That starts with being that way with one another. And then realizing as we're that way with one another, God's calling us to go out and to live that way in the world where we're known at our workplaces and in our communities as the most gracious and compassionate and loving people that are around. When they talked about my cousin who passed back August 2nd of cancer, her sister said of her, I always wondered, where was God in her suffering of cancer? And when I looked at her, I realized God was there. God was there through my sister Rebecca. I saw the love of God, the compassion of God, his grace, all that God is through her. I read the wonderful story of a woman who, she was a mother of three children, but was in college to get a degree. Her last class to take was sociology. And the last project, the last thing she had to do, the professor gave them a project. She called the project Smile. The project was to go out and to find three people that you just go and you just walk out from them. And then write their responses. Well, she embraced that, although she was a person that normally did that anyhow. Well, so the following morning, she got up with her husband and the kids, and they went to McDonald's, as they were standing there waiting to give their order, they noticed all of a sudden people began to part. And as they parted, there was an odor in the air, a body odor. It was terrible. Even her husband and kids jumped away, and there she was standing next to this man, obviously homeless. She looked at him, and she says, when he looked up at her, he smiled. She had the most interesting, amazing blue eyes. I didn't know whether to be afraid or what to think, and she said, there was a man next to him that just stood there, shorter and sheepishly. You could tell he was mentally challenged, and his very salvation was this smelling him of blue eyes. And as he was just counting the coins in his hand, the woman at the counter said, can I help you? And he just said, I just want some coffee, just coffee. With that, he dropped his coins and took his coffee and went around the corner, and the woman was caught by this man, bothered. And so she looked to the woman and said at the counter, on a separate tray, I want you to give me two more complete breakfasts. And she did, and then she took the breakfast and she took it over around the corner to this gentleman. Found where they were finding a resting spot away from everyone else, and she placed the tray right down in front of them, at which time, as she did so, she reached out with the tray and put her hand on the man's very, very, very cold hand. He just looked up at her and smiled with a tear in his eye and said, thank you. Thank you. She responded with this. She said, it's not just me doing this for you. God is working through me to give you hope.
Amen.
You see, well, we're back to where we started from. Mm-hmm. We started with hope today. It's just a circle to give that man hope. She went back and sat down at the table, and her husband said to her, honey, that's why God gave you to me, to give me hope. God gave us his son to give us hope. And in his son, God gives us to this church and to the community to give it his hope. That's so important. That's why Paul writes, God's chosen ones, holy in love. We need to put on heartfelt compassion. Time for compassion. Kindness. Humility, gentleness, patience. We need to accept one another, forgive one another. If anyone has a complaint against one another, just as the Lord's forgiven, we need to forgive. We need to have compassion. You see, it's all wrapped up. Hope, grace, connection, compassion. He's asking us that now is the time not to delay, to take those steps. And maybe now's the time, like never before, to say, Lord Jesus, I've been saying someday I will accept that salvation. I'll accept the hope you offer. I'll accept your grace. I want that connection with you. I want to extend your compassion. Someday, Warren Wiersbe tells the story of a pastor who was speaking with a woman. And in dealing with this woman, she said she had plenty of time to decide what she wanted to do in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so he handed her a piece of paper and he said, would you sign a statement that you would be willing to postpone, make a decision to follow Jesus Christ for a year? I'm not going to sign that statement. He goes, would you sign a statement that you're willing to postpone making a decision to follow Jesus Christ for 6 months? She goes, no. I said, how about 1 month? And she said she finally got it because she did not know how much time she literally would have. She couldn't be assured of anything. And she realized what Paul says here is, now's the time. Now's the day. Let me close with this one. The devil decided to have a little competition, gathered some of his demons together, and the demon who won would get a prize. He goes, I want you to go down on a mission, and your goal is to find ways where you can best scheme to stop ordinary people from seeking God and following Jesus Christ. And so the first one came and says, oh, Master Satan, I'm going to tell them there is no God. And he says, that's absolutely preposterous and ridiculous. if they really stop and take a pause in a moment, look at the vastness, its detail around the world, the average person will sensibly discover there's surely something greater than them. Because, well, the next comes and says, I'm going to tell them there's no such thing as evil. Everything is great. And he goes, come on. Somebody's got to come. If they look at the world around them, just watch the news yesterday. Nobody can buy that. The third one says, I'm going to persuade them that churches are out of fashion, that they're no longer cool, and that people inside them are out of touch, and they'll never change their ways. I'm going to tell them the church folks are only after their money. He says, really? Okay, they're already there, so that's not going to work. Most people believe that anyhow. And finally, sheepishly, the last one comes and says, well, I hate to say this, oh, Master, you seem very upset. But if it were me, I would go down into earth, and I would tell all the people they've got plenty of time. There's no hurry. God loves you, and he doesn't stand there and say, I'm waiting, waiting, waiting. God loves you, and you see the picture of Jesus hanging on the cross with open arms. He goes, I love you. Don't waste the time. Don't miss the opportunity for a walk with me. Now is the time. And that's why I asked that question at the end. What time is it in your life? What is the time for you? Any of these four are all four. Let's pray. Father, thank you for being here today. It's easy for us to put it off and say, I'm going to get around to it. But there are too many in my life that I've spoken with, and they waited. And they waited until it was too late. Life was snuffed out, and that decision was unmade, and that's not something that I want for anyone. You placed in my heart a love for people, a love for these people, this area, and there's a total restlessness within me that anyone could end this life without knowing the Savior Jesus and having a full assurance that the next moment they close their eyes in this earth, they're opening their eyes in heaven in less than the blink of an eye. And for some, we have to make that decision today here. For some, we have to make a decision to be open to your hope, to be open to your grace, to be open to a daily moment-by-moment connection with you, or just be vessels of compassion to a world and a community that doesn't look at us that way. And so we fail to reflect your love and your compassion and grace, and we want to do that. And so we have to decide, and maybe decide even now today to make that decision. And so, God, we come. And so we say, I've decided that I'm going to follow you, Lord, and thank you for the blessed assurance that I have